Our message this morning is entitled, Inside the Ark. I want to ask you a question. Did God ever ask you to do something that seemed to defy human reasoning and logic? If he did, how does that compare what he asked Noah to do? The account of the worldwide flood is one of the greatest events ever recorded in history. In school, you read of how communism fell. In school, they taught you how the Roman city of Pompeii disappeared under 20 feet of volcanic ash in AD 79. But what does any of this compare to the historical event of an entire world's population being destroyed by a worldwide flood, except 8 people? All that remains now of this past world are fossils in the sediment and coal and oil from decomposed organic material. Everything else is gone, except the lessons to be learned. As we examine this event, let's first look at the environment around the ark. The conditions of weather and climate were quite different from what it is now. In Genesis 1, it talks about a water canopy that was above the atmosphere. It's believed that this acted as a canopy, keeping temperatures warm worldwide, all around the world. It provided tranquil weather conditions. In other words, there was no snow, there was no blizzards, there was no cold snaps, no storms, and possibly not even rain because the water came up from underground. No hurricanes, no tornadoes, and most of all, no floods. The environment before the flood was quite different from our environment around us now. Let's examine the properties of the ark. In Genesis 6, verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Around 120 years before God destroyed the world with a flood, God prophesied that judgment would be coming in 120 years. And then God speaks again in Genesis 6, verse 13, 18. "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence." And then he talks about making an ark of gopher wood and pitching it within and without, and putting a door in it and a window in it. And he gave all the instructions exactly how to make it. And this blueprint that God gave Noah, the instructions from his mouth as far as how to build the ark, it says, Noah did most of it. Is that what it said? No. Noah did it. And it repeatedly says that about Noah, and Noah did it. We see that the ark was 300 cubits long by 50 cubits wide by 30 cubits high. Now that doesn't mean too much to us, but it's believed that's around 440 foot long by 73 feet wide by 44 feet high. Now this church sanctuary here, just a sanctuary, it's about 100 foot long by 40 foot wide. So try to picture this boat in the middle of dry land where there had never been a flood, roughly twice as wide as this sanctuary and 4.5 times as long. Can you picture that? It had 3 stories, 1,400,000 cubic feet of space, as much as 522 railroad cars. It was a big barge, wasn't it? Sitting in the middle of dry land where there had never been a flood and probably had never even rained. 3 other details you need to look at as you are observing the ark. Notice the pitch. In Genesis 6, verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." The word pitch in the Hebrew means a covering. It was a covering around the ark. And it's the same word that's translated atonement in Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. The same word. So we see that the first time the word atonement is used is to describe the covering around the ark that protected those under the covering from the wrath of God that was around them. Look also, as you're observing, look at the door. How many doors are there into the ark? Steve says one. There is one door. It says on the side was one large door. There were many people outside the ark. There were many rooms inside the ark. But to get to the salvation inside the ark, to get under the covering, to get under the atonement, there was only one way. And perhaps I can just imagine Noah telling the people, pointing towards the door. He could have said something like this. This is the way to the truth and the life. No man cometh unto salvation but through this door. One other interesting feature about the ark. Notice the window near the top. It's believed that the window quite possibly ran the whole way around the ark. Its purpose was to let air in and possibly also to let some light in. I want you to keep this window in mind because something you'll never forget happens here shortly, and we want to talk about that soon. So we saw the environment around the ark. We saw the ark itself. Next, I want to look at the spiritual environment around the ark. Not the physical environment, but the spiritual environment. Now, it's hard to imagine an environment that had no rain and no storms. But the spiritual environment around the ark isn't hard to imagine, because you feel almost like you're reading the New York Times. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought in his heart was only evil continually. And it was interesting, continually is from two Hebrew words. It means all and day. All day their thoughts were evil. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. Corrupted simply means decayed. In Matthew 24, verse 37, for as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we see that this culture before the flood, we see it was full of hedonism, which is an enjoyment of pleasure, an enjoyment of entertainment. It was self-pursuit. We don't see any hint that there was like a lot of idol worship. It was just the worship of their sensual pleasures, a culture of violence, a culture of cruelty. Two times it mentions the word violence. It was a society of murder, of rape, abortion, and other cruel and violent crimes. And we also can detect here that they probably focused on the occult and had a fascination with demons. Now think about this. Just 1,500 years earlier, Adam and Eve had walked with God. And the truth of God and his ways, I'm sure Adam and Eve had passed it down to their children. But now, only 8 people in the whole world had faith in the one God. And conservative estimates puts the world population at that time at probably around 7 billion people. You know what the world's population is today? 7 billion people today. If I could write an obituary about this world, it would say, they lived to the fullest, they lusted to the fullest, they forgot the God who created them, who looked upon his children, and judged them for their evil. Cause of death, drowning, date, the 17th day of the second peace, second month. They will never rest in peace. We saw the physical environment around the ark. We saw the properties of the ark. We saw the spiritual condition of the people around the ark. Next, I want us to try to picture the social environment around the ark. Can you see them start to build this huge boat? Like I said, twice as wide as this auditorium and 4.5 times as long. Can you see them building this in the middle of dry land? Can you see people asking questions? You know, what in the world are you doing? And I believe at first that only local people were probably attracted to what was going on. But remember, it could have took at least 100 years to build the ark. And I believe that word about these fanatics spread the longer it went and the bigger the ark got. And I believe it's quite possible that in 20 years or so after Noah started, that people from far and wide were coming to see the boat being built on dry ground by crazy Noah and his sons. And it's very possible that even a tourism industry was built around the spectacle of the ark. This year for vacation, we're going to see crazy Noah. He believes someday it might rain real hard. And can you hear the laughter? And seeing an easy way for income, possibly even the locals built places to sleep, places to eat, as people from far and wide came to view these fanatics. Look around. Picture the ark, twice as wide as the sanctuary and 4.5 times as long. Picture the buildings built around the ark where tourists come to eat and sleep. Picture the people standing around and laughing. Noah, there's never been a flood. Do something meaningful. Noah, you're crazy. Get real. Go and have some fun. Can you hear the sarcasm? Help, I felt a raindrop. Hey, Noah, when the water gets to the top of the mountain, open the door for me. Hey, Noah, if you fill a room up with beer, maybe I'll come in. And even the children chant it. Hark, hark, look at the ark. Noah will save us from the sharks. And possibly the laughter was the worst during the time of preaching. You see, God's grace was still available at this time. His spirit was still moving. And there was probably a ministry team of at least 3 who were working the crowds. The oldest was Methuselah, Noah's grandfather. His name means, when he dies, it shall be sent. You see, his name was a very message of judgment. Very possibly, he stood on top of some of the scaffolding. And he proclaimed, soon I'm going to die. Judgment will come. The waters will rise. Repent and have faith. And scripture records that the year he died, the flood came. Noah's dad, Lamech, actually died 5 years before the flood came. But I would expect quite possibly he was active in preaching for that 115 years from when the first pronouncement of judgment came. And then there was Noah. 2 Peter 2, verse 5, it says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He told the men that he bought wood from that there was going to be a judgment. He told them about the one true God. Every day as tourists came to make fun and to gawk at this huge boat on dry land, he preached to them. He would say to them, there is only one God in heaven and earth. He created everything. He has seen your wicked ways, and he will soon judge you. Repent and have faith in him. Come into the ark, and it will cover you from God's wrath. God's grace is not indefinite. Soon his spirit will stop calling you. The reality is, Noah preached for possibly 100 years, and he didn't have one convert. Now, I know when you preach a revival services and no one stands, it can be kind of discouraging. I can't imagine him preaching for 100 years and no converts, but yet he kept at it. But it wasn't the ministry team of three. That wasn't it who was witnessed. I can see Shem, Ham, and Japheth also getting involved. I can see their wives getting involved in spreading the news about the judgment to the other women they met. There was no converts. There was only two groups of people, just like today. There was the eight of faith, and then there was the rest of unbelief. I want to look a little closer at the people of unbelief, because I believe in this group of unbelief, we could actually divide them up into three subgroups. First of all, we see the skeptics. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 describes skepticism as being prevalent in the last days, and it was also there in the days of Noah. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. In other words, as things are now, so they will be in the future. As is in the present, so it will be as time progresses. There is uniformity in science that cannot be diverted from. In Noah's day, the skeptics said, since there has not been a worldwide flood to date, we conclude that there will not be a worldwide flood in the future. Since there has not been widespread flooding in the past, we believe as time progresses, it will not happen later. You see, they saw the reality of the present. They saw the reality of so-called scientific facts. And this reality bred skepticism of God's prophecy about judgment of a flood. This group of unbelieving, we have the skeptics. I believe the second subgroup would be the mentally assenting. Possibly some who listened to Noah mentally assented to the salvation that's in the ark. Yes, this is true. I believe there is a flood coming. I believe, but I don't need to allow it to rule my life. I won't allow it to affect the way I live. I won't come under the ark's covering. I won't allow myself to be criticized for taking a stand for the salvation of the ark. But hey, I believe that there is salvation in the ark, and someday I'll allow it to be Lord over me. You see, they had faith in the ark. I mean, they had belief in the ark, but not faith to walk into the ark. The third subgroup, possibly among these, was the self-righteous. Possibly there were some who believed in the judgment that was coming, and possibly they went about building their own boat, possibly a canoe, possibly a rowboat. You see, they didn't use God's words that Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah had prophesied to them. No, they came up with their own plan of salvation. They thought by hard works they could be saved outside the ark's atonement. They thought by hard works they could be saved without going through that one door. They spent a lot of time in preparation and hard work, but it wasn't according to God's plan of salvation from His Word. The skeptics, the mentally assenting, and the self-righteous all had one thing in common. They didn't walk by faith in the atonement. They didn't go through the one door. They didn't trust God's word, and they all died in the flood. But Genesis 6, verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Did you ever start to build something and anticipation builds up for the day when you could use that? Sure, we all did that. Well, imagine Noah's excitement after all these years. And finally, he heard the voice of God after many years of silence. He heard the voice of God talking again. Come into the ark. Notice God didn't say, go. He said, come. Because His presence was inside the ark. And can you see all the animals descending to the ark? Can you see the tourists gaping in awe at what is happening? And then Genesis 7, verse 16. And when they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Notice it says, the Lord shut him in. Can you see this huge door? Imagine it was a rather large door. You can see it just, there's no hands there. There's no one pushing it that can be seen. But you just see the door slowly, slowly close. And finally it latches. And those on the outside could see that there was no handle on the outside to get it open. The Lord shut the door. Now there were physically separated into two groups. Two groups. Those who entered the ark by the door to get under the covering, and those outside the door. What a difference that one door makes. Notice what happens next. It says the foundations of the deep were broken up. Can you see these huge underground reservoirs of water bursting to the surface? Huge gushes of water are seen shooting up in the distance. Water starts flooding towards the ark, but it also says the windows of heaven were open. The vapor canopy, the waters created above the atmosphere, it's believed that possibly they started to condense and they fell rapidly and heavily. And you can see the water starts to rise. I believe that from 100 years of building that ark, there were pieces of scrap wood laying all over the place. Can you see the people floating on these pieces of scrap wood? Notice what's missing. Gone is the laughter. Gone is the taunting. Gone is the ridicule. Listen to the rain. Listen to the screams. As the water rises, I can see people trying to get the door open. Can you? Trying to no avail to open the door. It had no latch on the outside. It was shut tight supernaturally. And the water gets higher and higher. Now look at the top of the ark. Look at that window running the whole way around the ark. Can you see those hands gripping the window framework? The knuckles white from hanging on. Can you hear the cries? Let me in, let me in. You hear the banging? Let me in. For those of you inside, there is peace. But in the fingers gripping the window seal, you see the terror of what is happening outside. You hear the banging. You see the white fingers. And then slowly, one by one, they lose their grip and are gone. And in just a matter of days, all the hands have disappeared from the windows. All the screaming is gone. The banging on the sides has stopped. It's just you and seven others under the atonement inside the ark. The thought came to me, I wonder what those people thought about as they floated on top of the water on scrap wood before they drowned. A couple of possibilities came to me. I wonder, did they think God's grace has its limits? They thought of the 120 years of invitations. They thought of that extended hand of grace. Now they realize, this is it. It's over. Grace is done. They thought of Methuselah dying and his name meaning when it dies, it will come. They thought of Noah's preaching. Now they realize grace was done. Judgment was upon them. Grace was over, over, over. Thought number two, perhaps they thought, wow, faith in God's word always wins over the reality of science and human wisdom. They had viewed Noah as a fanatic. They were realists based in knowledge and human wisdom and the physical environment around them. Now as they floated on the top of the water, they thought, if I would have only had faith in God's word, no matter how ludicrous it sounded, If only I had faith, no matter how much it went against the reality of the day. Perhaps they also thought this. I can imagine as they clung to the windows, they could see in, and possibly they saw the pitch coating the inside of the ark. They saw this covering. They saw this atonement that separated those inside from the wrath outside. And they thought, if only I was under the covering. When I heard the call, why didn't I go? When that one door, when the one way opened, why didn't I enter in so I would be covered from this wrath? Why? Why? Why didn't I allow the ark to rule my life and come under its cover? Thought number four comes from those who tried to build by their own works their own boat to safety. As their boat splintered in the current, and as they floated in the water, they thought, why did I try to build my own salvation instead of entering into God's plan of salvation? All my labor, all my time, I tried so hard to escape this wrath, but it didn't save me. If only I had trusted God's plan of salvation and rested in his finished work. All my work is to no avail. It's worthless, worthless, worthless. The only salvation that stood was through the one door built by God's design where the covering kept out the wrath of God. Did you also ever wonder what the eight people inside the ark might have been thinking? After all, they were in the ark 1 year and 17 days till the land was dry enough, and that's a lot of time to think. Possibly Noah thought this. Did I pass down the truth of the one true God to my children? You see, Noah was 500 years old when Japheth was born. And it's believed he had many children before this. And he perhaps had many grandchildren and many great-grandchildren. All these were outside the ark except his three boys. Perhaps Noah took account in his mind concerning his ministry to his children. I can just imagine him thinking, Did I take the time to tell them all about God? Was I faithful enough? Was I diligent enough? Was I constant and thorough in telling them about the one true God and his ways? Are there any outside the ark? Because I didn't pass down to them the truth about the true God. Perhaps Noah thought, I spent time preaching to all those who came to see the ark. But did I minister enough to my family? Did I pass down the truth? Perhaps Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives, maybe they thought in this year and 17 days they were inside the ark. Perhaps they thought, did I pass out the gospel of salvation to those around me? Every day they had interacted with loggers and woodcutters and others involved. They had interacted with the tourists and others outside the ark. Now they gave account in their mind about these meetings. Did I tell them about the one true God? Did I pass out the warning of the reality of judgment? They probably recounted each conversation. Each time they had the opportunity to pass out the truth about the one true God, were they faithful? Were any of the 7 billion people drowned because they had passed up opportunities to witness? They gave account in their minds concerning their passing down the truth. They gave account in their minds about passing out the truth. We know by the word of God, this terrible judgment came. We also know this same word says that more judgment is coming. 2 Peter 3, verse 5, we read this before. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heaven and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? Remember we said the date the flood came was the 17th day of the second month. Well, the same word has promised, that promised a flood, is also promising a worldwide fire and burning of this earth and a judgment of all people. The day is coming. I want to ask us, what will your thoughts be when that day comes? In eternity, you will have ability to think, to reason, to feel guilt and remorse. What will your thoughts be? Will you think, if only I had believed the reality of God's word versus the reality of what's around me? Why did I think that all things would just continue as they were? Why didn't I put my faith in the word, no matter how fanatical it sounded? Perhaps some of you will think, why didn't I go through that one door at Jesus Christ? Why didn't I get under the covering of the blood? You remember the words you heard of Jesus, I am the way, I am the door. Why didn't I submit to his lordship and enter into his rest? You will remember all the sermons you heard. You will remember all the opportunities you had to stand and come to Christ. But now, in eternity, you will realize God's grace has its limits. No hope, no hope, no hope. The thought also came to me, those of us who are saved, what will our thoughts be at the judgment seat of Christ? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. You see, the judgment seat of Christ will be a time of accounting for the Christian, for the good and the bad that he has done. When Christ looks at you and asks, were you faithful in passing down the truth to your children? What will you say? When Christ asks you if you were faithful in passing out the gospel to others around you, what will you say? Will you think of those who were lost because you were too unconcerned to hand out winter Bible school cards? Will you think of your coworkers who you worked with day after day after day? You talked about hunting, you talked about the presidential election, you talked about sports, but you never told them about the one true God and the judgment that's coming. You never told them that they would burn in an everlasting fire unless they went through that one door and got under the atonement. And now you know they are lost. Will there be tears that God will have to wipe away at the judgment seat of Christ? A future time of accounting. The time is short. Judgment day is coming. Are you ready? Is there more to do? Are you prepared for the future? And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Can this be said of us? May God bless the message.